Today on Dog Pound Report, Coach Pettine delivers a quarterback update. Joe Thomas gives us his thoughts on the new Browns offense, and we give you all the news that came out of the owners' meetings. This is Dog Pound Report. Good morning and welcome to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin, joined by look who's back. It's Nathan Zagura.
Andy, it's good to be back. Had a little fun in the sun down there in Florida. Got to play a little golf, my favorite thing to do, hang out with the kids at the pool. So it was a good trip.
Did you hit them straight? Did you stop thinking about football for like 30 seconds?
Well, the Browns were making some moves, so I got to keep abreast of those on Twitter. But, yeah, I hit them straight, 74-70. So I was happy with that.
I could take a day like that. All right, speaking of your little bit of fun in the sun right there, the front offices were gathered in Phoenix, Arizona this past week for the annual NFL owners' meetings, and that gets us right to our trending topics. Coach Mike Pettine met with reporters on Wednesday and was asked about the timetable for Johnny Manziel to begin off-season work with the team. Here's what the coach had to say.
There's no firm timeline, but I'm optimistic that he'll be in town. I think it's April 20th is our first day. Right now, to me, it's my biggest, the primary concern with him is just Manziel, the person. When he's back with us and it's all about football, that we're confident between Flip and between Kevin that they're going to do an outstanding job, not just him but all of our quarterbacks, holding them accountable, getting them prepared. They're going to get coached hard, and we're going to hopefully get everything out of them that we can.
All right, you heard what Mike Pettine had to say. What's most important for Johnny is getting his personal life back together. He's still optimistic that he'll be back for the off-season program that starts on April 20th.
Yeah, of course, that is the most important thing. Johnny Manziel, the human being, getting things figured out, and you hope that it coincides with being able to come in day one as he has to learn a new offense again this year and have the opportunity to come in, get back into football, immerse himself there, learn the offense, get as many reps as possible so he can compete with Josh McCown. But again, there's no rush. You've got McCown here for a reason. He can start in the NFL, and you want to take care of Johnny because Johnny being healed as a human is going to help him as a professional.
So let's make it perfectly clear. April 20th is not a day that is set in stone for Johnny to come back. It'd be a great time if he could, but getting Johnny healthy is the most important situation.
Bottom line, absolutely.
All right, so let's take a look at this quarterback room, the way it looks now, and you've got a veteran, you've got a guy that's got a little bit of time, and then you got a guy who's coming back.
Absolutely. You've got a couple young guys. You got Johnny, who we talked about, and, of course, Connor Shaw. And Ray Farmer saying down there at the owners' meetings, don't sleep on Connor Shaw because of what he showed against the Ravens. Went into Baltimore, a game the Ravens had to win to get into the playoffs, led the team down the field. They had the lead in that game, played through an injury, and showed a lot of heart, and you could just tell the team loved playing for him. So it's a good room. You've got the mix of the old with the young, plus the team loves the new quarterback coach, Kevin O'Connell, who's worked with a lot of the top prospects, and quarterback guru George Whitfield. And then you've got John DeFilippo, who's been in that room as a quarterback coach himself in the past with Derek Carr in Oakland.
All right, you said they love him, but why? What makes these guys so special?
Well, they have worked with young quarterbacks, which is important when you're trying to develop a guy like Johnny Manziel. They understand the position, and John DeFilippo, as I said last year, was there with Derek Carr in Oakland, leading him to a successful rookie season. And then you've got the guy, Josh McCown, who's played in the league, had a great run in Chicago 2 years ago where he had 13 touchdowns, one interception, and has also embraced kind of that mentor role. He knows at 36, if he can come in and start for this team, that's exactly what he's going to do. But if he can help Johnny Manziel and his development, because the truth of the matter is that's the best path to success for this team in that quarterback room. It's Johnny getting right off the field and then getting right on the field and doing the things that made him so special at Texas A&M.
Well, it'd be great to see that, wouldn't it? All right, more from the owners' meetings now. It was reported that the Browns are currently making plans to spend 2 days in Western New York to hold a training camp and a joint practice with the Bills. In return, the Bills would return to Cleveland to play in a preseason game. Occasionally, that's something we see in the NFL, but it's something we haven't seen from the Browns in quite some time.
I love this. This is a team that's all about competition, and what better way to see where your team is than to compete against another team? They don't know your scheme. They haven't seen what you're running every single day. So I love this. You've got that aspect of it. You got the personalities of Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan going head-to-head, the student and the teacher. That's going to be a lot of fun. I think this is a great thing for the Browns.
All right, Mike Pettine in his first year, I don't know that if you're a first-year head coach you want to do this. Maybe he wanted to do this a little bit last year, but now he's more comfortable as a head coach taking his team on the road for a joint practice.
Yeah, it's something that he wanted to do last year, but said he didn't have enough time to get it put together. Bill Belichick does it. The Patriots are big fans of it. And I think it's going to be great for the fans to get an opportunity to see this team. It's going to be great for the players to go against somebody else. You get sick of going against the same guys day after day. And again, really see where you're at as you're installing a new offense, seeing where this defense progresses in year number two. I think this is going to be a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun for the players.
Lastly, in trending topics, it was announced this week that the Browns will receive zero compensatory picks for this year's draft. This, of course, is due to the number of free agents signed last season. Nathan, please explain compensatory picks to me.
All right, well, the reason the Browns got zero last year is because you brought in some significant free agents to make up for the ones that you lost. You lost T.J. Ward. Well, you brought in Dante Whitner. You brought in Carlos Dansby, Andrew Hawkins, Jim Dre, guys who came in and made significant contributions. So in that aspect, it's okay. It's a young team that needed to add some of those veterans to help change the culture, and that's what they did. Now, looking forward to the next year, the Browns are in a good situation to pick up four compensatory picks, which is the maximum. So the Browns have lost Brian Hoyer, Jordan Cameron, Jabal Sheard, Buster Skrine, and Ataba Rubin. Five guys have gone out. Williams is the only one they brought in. So that's why you get to that four number of compensatory picks. And if that happens, right now the Browns projected to get two fourths, maybe a fifth and a sixth. That means you can have 11 picks in 2016. This team wants to build through the draft. You have 10 this year, 11 next year. That's a great opportunity to add a lot of talent.
All right, Nathan, great stuff. And thanks for explaining it to me. Because I got to tell you, compensatory picks aren't easy for fans to understand.
I don't think the NFL understands it, really.
Well, salary cap is the other one, right?
Yeah, people these are
can't
tough.
Figure that out.
That's right. That's right. We have smart people working on that for the Browns, like my man Sashi Brown.
There you go. All right, we're going to have much more of the Dog Pound Report coming up right after this. Coming up next, Joe Thomas gives us his impressions of the newest Browns uniforms. We explain the position change for Phil Taylor, and you'll find out what rule change came out of the owners' meetings.
Spending last season on the sidelines was not fun. I'm anxious to get back there and out there with teammates.
You know, getting back active again, and it feels good to, you know, be around the building and start doing stuff again.
Looking forward just to spending time with the guys, being able to contribute, you know, help the team win, all those kind of things.
And welcome back to Dog Pound Report. That, of course, Pro Bowl center Alex Mack, a guy that made a huge difference on the offensive line and, quite frankly, sorely missed last year after he was hurt. And it looks like he's gained about 30 pounds with that beard.
He has got kind of that Wilderman look to him, but he's the best center in the National Football League, a huge part of what the Browns do. In the five games they had him last year, they rushed for over 100 yards four times. They averaged over 4 yards per carry four times. The rest of the season, they didn't have quite that success. Huge piece of this offense.
Did you ever think that a center, losing a center, and especially during the offseason where people were saying, well, he might go to Jacksonville, he's going to stay here, I don't think anyone realized the impact that he would have on this team last year. But it was short of devastating for the squad.
It was absolutely devastating, and it's because of his athleticism and what he's able to do in the zone blocking scheme. Get to the second level, clear lanes for these running backs to make those chunk plays. And when he was gone, nobody could replicate that. The good news is he's back, and the Browns should be off to a good start on the offensive line.
All right, right now we are joined by Alex's teammate on the line, 8-time Pro Bowler Joe Thomas. Joe, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we just heard from Alex Mack, who's very eager to get back on the field. How important is his return to the offensive line and the offense in general?
Well, he's obviously a huge part of our offense. Being the center right in the middle of the offensive line, right in the middle of the entire offense, the one that makes all the calls on the line and gets everybody lined up in protections and in the run game, he's a huge part. Obviously, he's the best center in the NFL. And his loss really hurt us last year, and having him back will be a huge boost for the entire offense.
Now, Joe, even though there's been a lot of turnover on the offensive coaching staff this year, the Browns have kept their offensive line coaches Andy Muller and George DeLeon. How important is that continuity with your position coaches?
Well, I think it's really important. The offensive line is all about cohesion and communication, and it starts with the offensive line coaches and it trickles down to the players. So having the same guys teaching the same coaching methods, I think is going to be a huge, huge thing for us. And for a guy like Joel Bitonio, I think that's really important, because as a young player, it's important to get your feet under yourself and have some consistency early in your career, especially.
Speaking of coaches, Mike Pettine goes into his second year now. What do you see coming from him in year two?
I'm really excited to have Coach Pettine back for his second season. I think he kind of surprised everybody in the NFL with the job he did in his first season. He proved that the job is not too big for him, that he's definitely ready to be an NFL coach. And I think he's going to make big strides in his second season, and I think you're going to see them in our win-loss record. I think he does a great job with his steady approach. He's not a roller coaster guy. He's very blunt. He tells you how it is, and I think those are great attributes to have in an NFL coach.
Joe, a couple signings on the offensive side of the ball. Veteran wide receivers Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline. What do you see them bringing to the offense here in 2015?
Well, I think you look at those two guys, and they're two different receivers, but they're both going to really help us and fill a void and a need for us on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, Dwayne is a big, fast, physical receiver, and he'll be a guy that can take the top off of defense. And Brian is going to do a great job with a lot of the underneath stuff, and he's going to be a great complement in the slot to Andrew Hawkins.
Now, hopefully, Bowen Hartline will help the offense look good this year. And speaking of looking good, Dante Whitner tweeted about the uniforms last week. Joe, have you seen them?
I've seen a picture of the new uniforms, and they look pretty sweet, but I haven't got to see them in person yet.
All right, come on. Just for us here on Dog Pound Report, can you give us some details?
Unfortunately, they told me they were going to kill me if I told anybody anything about the uniforms, so I'm not willing to die over them.
Which is fair.
Wait, you wouldn't be either.
No, that's fair.
Either
way,
that's
fair.
A great call. All right, that's actually a really good choice. Now, we saw you go to your eighth consecutive Pro Bowl earlier this year. How else are you spending your off time, Joe?
Well, from February until April, the most important thing, no matter what the pundits on ESPN tell you, is to get away from the game, to mentally refocus, to spend some time with your family, because once April starts, it's pretty much a grind all the way through the end of the season in January, and it's important to be refreshed and recharged coming into that stretch, and to kind of spend some time with your family, because like I mentioned, during the season especially, you don't really get to see them much, so it's definitely just a refocus and recharge, and to get your body and your mind excited for the season when you do start working out in April again.
Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, you can't have enough Joe Thomases on this team, and, you know, what he's been able to do and the way fans love him in this town, he's really a gem that this team has.
He's one of the great Browns of all time, one of the great offensive linemen of all time, hasn't missed a snap, 8 straight Pro Bowls, and he has the offseason regimen that he needs to come in and be that dedicated, that focused, that successful every year. I think it's great, and he's a great role model for a young guy like Joel Bitonio, who gets the pleasure of playing next to him and Alex Mack every single day.
It is interesting how he spends his offseason. I mean, first of all, he was fishing during the draft, and then we saw this great big story about him doing gardening in
That's
the
right.
offseason. I mean, sometimes when you're playing a pretty violent game like football, you got to step back and do things nobody expects you to do.
You got to get away, and so that when they come back and it's time to focus on football, they can do just that.
It was funny. I ran into a bait store a couple years ago. No surprise there. Not
That's
at all.
That's what he likes to do.
All right, we've got much more coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back. Coming up next, we'll take a look at how NFL games will change in 2015 and your chance to see Luke Bryan at First Energy Stadium. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us now is Browns senior staff writer Andrew Gribble.
The
A lot
Grips.
Of things happening. You're back again, looking good.
Yes, looking good.
What's going on at ClevelandBrowns.com?
Well, you know, as it always happens, it's all about the quarterback. And we wrote about the quarterbacks earlier this week when Ray Farmer was out in Phoenix talking to reporters. And, you know, it seems like everyone wants to start playing general manager with the Browns quarterbacks, but he let everyone know that he's comfortable with what the Browns have on hand with Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, Thad Lewis. He likes that arrangement. Does that mean the Browns are done? No, but if the season started today, he's comfortable with what they have on hand, and it would look like, you would think, day one, Josh McCown, but there's a long way to go before the season starts.
And listen, he also stressed they're going to run the football, utilize play action, help whoever's in there at quarterback be effective. That's when the Browns were at their best last year. And McCown got some love from his former coach, Lovie Smith, as well, who said, listen, this is not the guy. He was not the reason the Buccaneers struggled last year. The Browns got a very good quarterback in Josh McCown.
All right, let me be Andy from Brecksville on the phone. Ready? Are the Browns ready to trade their first two picks in the first round to move up to get a quarterback?
Yeah. Based on the comments that Ray Farmer makes and based on this team's philosophy about building through the draft and what it would cost to draft Marcus Mariota, to move up to get Marcus Mariota, I don't even think two first-round picks is enough, because I think a lot of us think he could go number two to the Titans.
He's going second to the Titans or somebody else.
And so with this team's philosophy, with the past where they traded up and it didn't really maybe work out as well as you'd hoped, you know, use those 10 picks to their best advantage, and I think that's the philosophy that they're sticking with going forward.
I'm going to say there is no chance that the Browns trade up for Marcus Mariota at number 2. I don't think they're interested in doing that. You saw them trade up last year for Gilbert. You traded up last year for Manziel. You traded up last year to get Terrence West. This is a team now that's all about building through the draft, maximizing their assets. They're more likely to trade down than to trade up this year, so I don't see that happening. And this is a quarterback league. He's not getting past number 2.
All right, what's the reasonable expectation then for Josh McCown? Right now, he's the guy you want to hand the ball to start the season with, given the way this quarterback room looks today.
I think you're happy if you get something in between what happened last year in Tampa Bay, which was not good, and what he did in Chicago the year before, where he was phenomenal for those 5 games. You have a better wide receiving core with Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline. The pieces are better around him. That's what they've talked about over and over again, building around the quarterback, making it easier so he doesn't have to be the one that's constantly making plays on every down.
Yeah, we're in a better shape. Last year you went into the season with Miles Austin as your number 1, Hawk as your number 2, and either Travis Benjamin or Taylor Gabriel as your number 3. Now you've got Bowe, Hartline, and Hawk as your top 3 in a much better shape there. And if the Browns showed anything last year, it's that with average quarterback play, they could be a pretty darn good football team. I think Josh McCown's going to give you that and a little bit more.
All right,
and that's the wide receiving core as of now. The
right,
draft is ahead of us. There's so many offensive pieces that are out there potentially in the draft. The offense can only get better from this point forward. They'll get the roster as maximized as possible at training camp, and Josh McCown or whoever's the quarterback, they'll be set for better success.
So if they stand pat, you say they'll take a wide receiver at 12, both you guys, right? You'll say it today?
Absolutely not, but I want it. I want it. I think we're going defense. This is a defensive-oriented football team.
I don't think the signings have completely eliminated that possibility in the first round. I think it's made it less likely, but I think the Browns are now positioned to take the best player available. You don't have to look at saying, we need a wide receiver at this spot. You have more options now.
They'll get one, though, after their first 3 picks. There will be a wide receiver.
All right, there's your bold prediction. All right, you talked about defense for a second. Let's talk about Phil Taylor, who's going to switch positions, going to go from end to nose tackle.
Yeah, you know, it's a subtle move and one that fans really maybe weren't even aware that they were supposed to know. You know, you look at Phil Taylor, you think that's a big nose tackle. But really, last year when he did start during an injury-plagued season, he was on the end.
The middle is where you needed somebody with Ataba Rubin leaving. Phil Taylor slides over. You've got Shmaley Kitchen. And that would be the place, though, that I think if they do draft a defensive lineman at 12, Danny Shelton, you're looking at that nose tackle spot.
Yeah, you know, I think that number 12 spot, you're going to get someone good, whether it's an edge rusher, defensive tackle, or even one of those wide receivers. It's going to maybe be not a no-brainer, but when it comes to 12, there's going to be a really good player out there that the Browns are going to get. They're going to be happy with, and I think the fans will be happy with as well.
It's going to be an impact player there, and if they don't go wide receiver and they go defenses, we think that they might, whether it be an edge rusher or a guy in the interior of the defensive line like a Shelton, it's going to help this team immediately, and that's what you need, and a player of that caliber will be there. Shelton would help a lot. It'd give you a great rotation. You can keep these guys fresh, get them in and out with all the fronts that they use. Jim O'Neill, it'd be a nice pick for the Browns at 12.
All right, you said defense. Do you believe the Browns will go defense with that first pick that they have, 12?
You know, I think the numbers are in favor of that because not only is Danny Shelton a possibility at number 12, this is one of the best classes people have said ever in terms of edge pass rushers. And I think maybe a person like Shane Ray could fall, maybe Randy Gregory. There, one of those guys is going to fall down around the Browns area. Even Alvin Bud Dupree, you know, he's kind of rising upwards. He could be a pick at number 12. There's just so much talent at that position, that's a position the Browns didn't address in free agency.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about rule changes this week because the NFL didn't institute many of them at all. Your thoughts on what happened with replay?
Yeah, you know, that was the big headline last week. You would think there would be something done with replay, but really they all got either shut down or tabled for the future. The camera one in particular, you know, logistics and just kind of planning it out, it's not there yet, so it's been tabled until May.
And Nathan, I know you called the Colts and said, can you please implement that 9-point play and can you make that happen?
What is this, Rock and Jock? I'm making me a break here. Come on, you can score, you can go for 2, get to 8, or you can go ahead and kick the extra point, or just give it to them for 7.
And I think the more realistic change to that extra point, I'm not going to go that crazy yet. But, you know, moving the extra point from the 2 to the 1, you wonder what's the big deal with that? Now you're going to have teams that are maybe more inspired to go for 2 it's because it's just 1 yard.
But you got to move it to the 1. That's the big thing. I think that was one of the things. Lovie Smith said that earlier, that if you move the ball to the 1, now you're going to force teams to want to go for 2 more often.
But you're going to need those end zone cameras even more because there are going to be so many 2-point conversions right at the line of scrimmage.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
And just think of a team like the Browns. Great center, great interior lineman, good running game.
Ka-ka.
Why not go for 2?
That's right.
Ka-ka. Hey, thank you so much. Always appreciate your time. We'll read you at clevelandbrowns.com.
Sounds good.
Doing a great job. All right, we'll be back with more Dog Pound Report right after this. Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, your chance to win tickets to Cleveland's biggest concert event of the summer. And welcome back to Dog Pound Report. As you know, the Browns are extremely active when it comes to social media. And this week, we turn to Phil Taylor for our social post of the week. And here's what he was doing, and I think Browns fans should be excited about this too. Hanging out with Mike Bowie, a guy they picked up on waivers last year. I know you're high on Bowie. Not everyone knows about him.
Yeah, absolutely. Two guys getting in there, getting their rehab on, which is good so they can be ready to take the field. But Bowie's a guy who started 8 games for the Seattle Seahawks in 2013 when they went to the Super Bowl at right tackle. He was a physical guy, a good run blocker, paving the way for Marshawn Lynch, actually the 12th graded run blocking tackle that year by Pro Football Focus. So he's a guy who can bring some intensity, some physicality to the line. He'll compete for a spot on that right side with Mitchell Schwartz and John Greco.
All right, we talked about Phil Taylor just a little bit earlier in the show. How healthy is he and how ready is he going to be for this season?
He's going to be very ready. He's excited to be back there. Remember, he's in a contract year. He's going to be motivated. He's being moved to the nose tackles we talked about. So I think he's ready to go.
Beyond Phil Taylor, who are the other big impact players that are coming back from injury?
Well, I'm going to say Alex Mack, obviously. Sure. I think the best center in the National Football League come back. And don't forget Deshaun Gibson missed a lot of time as well, the Pro Bowl safety. So I think those two are going to have the biggest impacts for this team.
All right, Kawan Williams, anybody else that you're thinking?
I love Kawan.
I got to make sure we got to make this happen.
You know? Yeah, you need Kawan Williams. The guy that I'm also excited to see is my man Armani Bryant. I think he's really going to be an effective pass rusher for this team. Season cut short this year. I think he's going to have an opportunity to be a big player this season.
All right, Nathan, it's time for our favorite part of the show.
Yes.
Where we look into the crystal ball and we tell you what we are convinced is going to happen this week. You go ahead first.
I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking WrestleMania. I'm talking San Francisco. And I'm talking Cleveland's own The Miz in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It's the only thing he hasn't done at WrestleMania. He brings it home for Cleveland as we start a winning streak for this season.
I don't know if I'm more confused between that and compensatory picks. But I'm going to watch just for you tonight. I'm going to get hooked.
WrestleMania, let's go.
I'm like a Hulk Hogan kind of guy.
Okay, that's the golden era.
I'm like Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know. Those are the guys. Now this is a new generation. This is a guy from Cleveland. And he's been done it. He's won the main event at WrestleMania in the past, and he's going to win the Battle Royal tonight.
All right. I'm on board. I'll be watching. So
let's go.
Here's my bold prediction for this week. Spring is finally here. I'm a little bit tired of the gray weather. We had the NCAA tournament this past weekend, and it was not exactly Chamber of Commerce weekend for them to come on into town. But you know what? Feel much better. Mark Johnson has promised me that we'll have better weather this week for you to go out and play golf.
Let's go play golf. This is a great city in the spring and summer and fall. Let's get there. It's right. The time is now. Let's get the good weather going. Let's get out there and we'll play a little small ball, Mr. Basket.
Sounds good to me. We'll hit them straight on one of our local courses. All right, Dog Pound, thanks for joining us this week. Before we go, in case you missed the cue on Inside the Cleveland Browns, here's your second chance to win Luke Bryan concert tickets at First Energy Stadium on September 5th. All you have to do is log on to clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsTV, then enter the keyword summer. And I also want to make sure that you tune into Nathan Zagura this week on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850, and then I'm right back here on News Channel 5 at 6 and 11 and on 92.3 The Fan with my good friend Jeff Phelps. You wrap it up, my friend.
Don't forget, we bark together, Cleveland, on the Dog Pound Report.